Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. My name's Alex Newell, your host and GM, and with me, as always, I have...
James Ross.
Bryn Monroe.
Ben Meredith.
Lydia Nicholas.
And quickly, what character are you playing?
I play Sasha Rackett, who is an antiques appraiser who loves stabbing.
Zolf Smith, short, stompy, grumpy. I meant to say, I went with stumpy instead of grumpy. Cleric, there you go.
I play Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan, the sorcerer who is less charming than I had originally intended.
I am Sir Bertrand Bertie McGuffingham, who is what a silver spoon would look like if it were a man.
So true.
Landlord of the Winking Falcon.
Is that what you should
that
retire?
Best euphemism ever.
Before we start this session, I think it's worth mentioning, I should have mentioned this last week actually, we're now recording and we've already launched, so there's already people listening and it's going well, so just as a heads up, thanks for everyone who's already listening, thanks
Yay. For... Thank you, we love you.
Thank you.
And yes, thanks.
You
thanks...
specifically.
Yes, you.
Yeah, you, the one you. We're talking to now. Everyone else, they suck. You, however, are great.
You're amazing.
You're the best one.
And I really like your
yourself.
Hair.
You are my favorite. You've been working out lately, I can tell.
Nice hat.
Yeah.
But one extra thing to add to that is...
if you're not wearing a hat, maybe you should try a hat. I think you look pretty good in a hat. That's not saying anything about your hair. Genuinely, I think
the audience are suitably appreciated.
This is a new podcast, a conversation with James Ross.
I've got a very soothing voice.
No, okay. He's using pomp and pageantry on the audience. That's what he's doing.
Well, I get a plus one to like podcast success.
But right. Anyway...
No, roles in the last round.
We will be giving a shout out to every single person who gives us a written review on the first 8 weeks as just a bit of a thank you, because that's when it's most important to us. Anyway, plugging aside, that's always the boring bit. What was the thing that happened last week? Well, you guys started investigating and you came upon the tailor's shop where the, let's call them the bombers, where the bombers appear to have come through. You then seem to have made your way past a cave-in that they originally did to dodge Sasha when she was chasing them the first time, and have discovered on the far side of it an open manhole.
Yes.
So, last thing that's happened, Sasha has just seen the open manhole. Let's pick up from there.
Guys, is there anyone... Guys?
Bertie just takes one step and goes that 10 feet down straight.
Hello!
Do we hear the crash? Because we saw him down.
Oh, yeah.
Pop down here, chaps!
What? You'll need to go, up and then along and then down. There's a hole.
You can hear her voice muffled coming from the far side of the cave.
Oh!
There's a hole, guys. We don't need to dig.
Just give me one more minute. I'll be right there. I just finished up the notes I was taking.
You're still sort of tracing the path.
Wait, then I'll climb up the hole and...
I'm still faster than Zolf. Despite my stumpy little legs.
Yes, well, I'm still quite short. Not as short as you, no.
Okay. Where are you heading, Zolf?
Up into the tailor shop. Is the cupboard hole very obvious?
The cupboard is open, and up to the cupboard, everything's fine. And the second that the cupboard, you look into the cupboard, there's just a hole.
There's a cupboard hole. You want to come down here?
Down the hole, chaps.
Through, the hole and stuff?
Through the hole.
Yeah, in it.
Down the hole.
Down the hole.
I look down the hole.
You see a big shining silver spoon of a man
waving
at the bottom of a cave, of a hole.
Bertie, get out of the way or I'm going to jump on you.
Will that hurt me?
No, it's just inconvenient for everyone involved.
unless you want to catch me.
I'm going to try catching him. Why not? Why not? So it's a team building exercise. It's a trust exercise. Look at this new mercenary company. Better than going out paintballing. Come on. I'm going to catch him.
All right.
What does he
well,
need to
if,
roll?
If you're sure, hop.
Okay. Give me a reflex save.
What do I need to roll for that?
Roll a d20.
20!
Oh, well, what I was going to say is you then add your reflex save, which is up on the left-hand side, which is
one.
Small, but you've got a natural 20. So, you describe how you catch a falling stumpy dwarf.
I catch him.
Who has a trident strapped to his back.
Using
a full-size trident.
I catch Zolf the falling dwarf on a single upturned finger and it connects. The balance is absolutely perfect on your peg leg, and I hold him like that, like you're a twirling ballerina in a music box.
Is that my tune? Oh, is that my tune?
That is the perfect 20 of ambient noise.
So to be very specific, that was an ice cream truck going outside the window. That's not an additional like post-production
ice
noise.
Ice cream should not be a major problem with fantastic every time.
We've decided to give up mercenary work and form a touring ballet company.
I was gonna say, it might be a good backup plan.
Yeah.
I jump down the hole.
Yeah, you land, it's fine. The only one who'd have to make an acrobatics check then is Zolf, because, you know, Zolf.
I get a -4.
I was going to check for traps around the manhole. Mm.
Look at you doing stuff that's sensible and relevant to the plot.
Maybe I missed the description. What is down this hole?
So currently down here, it's a small... At first, it looks like a cellar. Closer inspection, it looks like just a continuation of the sort of the building that you're in at the moment, but maybe more of a service tunnel or something. It doesn't look like it's meant to have regular use. Right. Featureless, almost a corridor, really.
So there's still a pile of rubble.
There's a pile of rubble behind.
Yeah.
And then at the other end, there is an open manhole with the cover pulled across to one side.
Going down or up?
Going down.
Going down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Check the traps.
Yeah, I want to do that. So that's a disabled device?
No, what you do is you do a perception check to find the traps, and then a disabled device if you find them to stop them going off in your face.
What I'm going to need to do in order to differentiate my voice from Sasha's one is to speak incredibly poshly when it's me. Okay, we'll try this.
This is my out of character voice.
This is how we all speak. I don't know what you're all drawing attention to.
That's fine. Okay, so I've got an 11, which...
We're now role-playing with the Queen.
Because that is a 6. 17.
17? Okay. You head up. Presumably you're checking the manhole.
Yeah.
To spell out, actually, technically in Pathfinder, if you're in a room and you want to do a complete sweep of the room, you have to do a check for something like every 5 feet. So normally it's waiting... It's silly.
We've got lives to lead. Come on.
We fall into a trap.
That's true.
Bryn, you may want to double check that, but as far as I'm aware, it takes an enormous amount of searches normally. Yeah.
I'm just looking at
it's
the
It's a salient point, yeah, yeah. That's fine. Heading there, you head over, you do your sort of taps. Actually, describe it.
So I flow over there like ball bearings that have fallen out of a blown up ball bearing factory that was built on a slight slope.
Okay.
And like the very faint kind of rattling of all of the balls flowing down are my fingers very delicately touching the floor and trying out all the different permutations of weight and tension in which there might be strings or buttons or whatever traps are made of in this steampunk golemy world.
Okay. Having the tap around and so on, you find that there is a trap. It looks like there is something rigged to the underside of the manhole. It looks to have effectively just a tripwire running, mm-hmm. a very, very thin tripwire running right across the main hole. Mm-hmm. You discern that it's there.
So is now the time to rock out my disabled device?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's 14 plus 7, 21.
21, yep. You manage to effectively reach down, and having a look underneath without disturbing the tripwire, you see there appears to be some kind of device strapped to the underside that's rigged to the tripwire. Very carefully, you hold the tripwire at the end where it would pull out, mm-hmm. snip it, tie it off, mm-hmm. and can reach in and remove the device wholesale.
Ooh, what is this device? Can I appraise it? Like appraising. It's a skill I haven't managed to use much so far.
Using the disabled device, you already know what it's effectively for. It looks like it is another Thunderstone that has been rigged to the tripwire, along with a very sort of compact version, but still another one of those oil flasks. Mm-hmm. So it looked like it was going to deafen and burn anyone who tried to climb down.
Sounds like a barrel of laughs.
Aren't you guys grateful that I wasn't spinning on a finger?
Yes. So, got to amuse ourselves while you actually do
I pocket
good things.
Both things.
Cool.
Add them to your inventory. Telling them. Mm.
Okay, so yeah, you pocket the trap components, we'll call them.
So that's my. So that was a
Thunderstone,
an oil flask, and a Thunderstone.
Cool. Did Bryn? Did you get the other ones, the vials and everything?
Yes, so I've got a Thunderstone and fire flasks, and I've got two of those.
Call them oil flasks. Think of it as a Molotov that's primed and ready to go. That's effectively what they are. The reason I clarify that actually for listeners is there's something in Pathfinder called Alchemist Fire, which. If these are Molotov cocktails, it's a bottle of napalm.
Yeah, Alchemist Fire is grim.
It's significantly stronger, more potent, and a bad day for anyone. It's one of those items that you'll want to pick up along the way at some point. It's a good way of, someone's chasing us, I drop this in the building, then building's now on fire, problem solved. Like it's kind of a staple for an adventurer's kit. Same as an acid flask. Good for getting through locks and things like that.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, you've disabled the device.
There was a trap, guys. Mm. Yes, now there isn't.
Well done. Thank you.
Cool.
Very well done.
Do you want me to go? You want me to go down, won't you?
Ladies first. After you.
Okay. Right. So I flow like.
We'll say you head down the manhole cover. There's limited episode times.
Yeah, okay. Right. I go down the manhole super sneaky like and look around.
Heading down the ladder. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit damp, a little bit slick. Heading down, you're clearly heading into a sewer.
Nice.
The smell isn't as bad as you'd expect, but it's hardly flowers. Mm-hmm. Getting down, you drop onto you can have those side sort of walkways beside. Mm-hmm. It's very narrow. Bertie's going to have a tough time unless he wants to wade through rivers of poo. Mm-hmm. But that said, like I said, it's very well maintained. It's very, very, like, it's tiled. It's clearly had a lot of work.
Is it suspiciously well maintained, or is it just...
It is as well maintained as you have grown accustomed to in Upper London, and the fact that its sanitation services are equally well maintained is nothing less than you would expect.
Right, okay. No less than my character would, because he's, like...
Oh, you mean in real life? Yeah, it's a clean sewer.
Right, okay.
How are there clean sewers?
Right. So it's weird that it's a clean sewer.
Yeah, I mean, there
my
is...
My character would not know that.
No, not
okay,
at all.
Cool.
There is, like I said, sewage running through.
Having a significant amount of experience in these kind of places.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
This is
ridiculous. Someone's wasting an enormous amount of time keeping something that's designed to channel poo clean.
Okay.
This is busy work of the most obvious nature.
Right. What we know about their working standards, then, and whoever these people are. Do I hear anything? I assume this is a tube with... Am I at the end of a corridor,
you
or is it
are
stretching?
Right in the middle. It stretches off behind you, up ahead. Up ahead there's a T-junction, and it looks like a small little waterfall, basically. Mm-hmm. That's a nice way of putting it. Mm-hmm. Give me a perception check.
Eight plus six. 14.
You hear the sound of significant volumes of liquid moving through a tunnel.
Can we all make such projects?
Currently, she's the only one down.
I think it's logical for my character to be the next one down.
Yeah.
So
when I realise you're about to come down, I move a significant distance away out of the splash range.
Okay. my character clambers down.
You attempt to clamber down wearing full plate armour.
Yeah. Acrobatics. Is acrobatics what I tested?
You're just not going to fit whilst wearing the armour. Could take it off, sort of take it down in pieces, then put it back on. You are not going to fit through the manhole wearing full plate armour.
I think
you just don't have the mobility for it.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to take it all off, come down, and then put it all back on again.
Sure. It's a long and arduous process.
Yeah, I'll give you a hand. Give him a hand.
I'm going to move ahead and scout with you. If that's okay.
Yeah.
I'll let you take the lead, but...
Okay, so we'll go up to the T-junction first, because I suspect that... Let's have a look. How sneaky are you? You don't know. Yeah?
Well, I'm hard to notice.
All right, so let's go the noisy way. So we go up to the waterfall.
Quickly, flash cut back to Zolf and Bertie. Get their strap off. This is... Clonk.
We have a beautiful moment where our eyes meet. And then cut back.
No, I meet eyes with your falcon helmet.
Oh, right.
And it winks at
you. Yeah. Are you floating?
I'm going to listen out for additional
for
sounds. 16 plus 6 is 22.
Much the same, I'm afraid. You get obviously loud echoing clangs and bangs and stuff. Actually, the acoustics in there seem, because it's tiled and actually quite clean, given that it's a sewer, it sounds like if there was anyone nearby or anything to pick up, you'd probably be hearing an echo of it.
They know that there's two guys, an army down there by the by the manhole, but like they don't know about us, so still keep it down. We look around the T-junction.
So getting to the T-junction, you appear to be maybe 15 foot up. There's stairs down on either side of the tunnel that you're in that lead down into a large, it looks like a drainage pool. It's like a big conical pool. Things are pouring down a waterfall straight into a large pool, effectively, which seems to be draining vertically downwards.
There is a path on either side. There are stairs that lead down on either side of that sort of walkway of the tunnel you're in at the moment, down to a lower level.
See, so that's where
the actual sewage falls down into a large sort of plunge pool, and that seems to be draining vertically downwards. So the left and the right are both tunnels devoid of sewage.
They appear to be sewage tunnels or something.
That is okay. Good. Might get a good point of view. Okay. In that case, sorry. With that in mind, I realise that we've just gone through the whole process of putting on the armour. Basically, I don't want to have to end up taking an acrobatics check to avoid falling in what is actually quite a short river of wastewater. Am I right doing the getting changed bit once we've got them there?
Sure. You've taken the armour off. You can carry it.
Yeah.
You have ways of strapping it to yourself and wearing it effectively, but not
carrying
clothing.
It, not wearing it. Yeah, cool. All right, we'll do that. And then at this point here, I will get...
Sure.
Shall we scout down this way a bit further?
Which way?
Under the left fork.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's skip a bit of time so that Bertie's now down by the plunge pool with Zolf. Bertie's currently not wearing his armour, could be putting it on if he chooses.
I am putting it on, that is what I am now doing.
Yep.
So, yeah, exploring the left-hand side.
Sounds good.
Uh-huh. You lead on for a while. It's a service tunnel. It takes a single right turn. Do you poke your head around the corner, presumably?
I'm listening.
Give me another perception check.
3 to 9.
It sounds like there's flowing water behind you.
Look round the corner. I look round the corner. Sasha, look round the corner.
Okay, looking round the corner,
yep.
You come up immediately to a ladder that leads vertically upwards to a manhole that's closed. And there is a little bit of light shining through holes in it, and occasionally it goes dark, then light again, and a bit dark, then light again.
Looks like a street up there.
Yeah. Should we check the other direction?
Slam cut.
And there we go. All done.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah.
As Hamid and Sasha come up walking next to you.
Hello.
Just wait here a minute. We're going to check the other direction.
What did you see down there? What's...
Nothing, it's basically.
It turns around a corner and then there's like a manhole. So
just an exit, basically.
There's people walking by. Like, they might have escaped that way, but we wouldn't find them that way.
Unlikely they go to a street with a simulacrum.
That's true.
That's
what
I got
the brain.
Or not.
How did they get a simulacrum through the manhole that you couldn't even fit through, Bertie?
Were the simulacrum, was it tall or...?
It was 10 foot tall.
But was it very wide?
Yeah. It was broad, wasn't it?
How wide, as in it would generally...
As in, it looked like a large, well-built humanoid, genderless, for mechanically of the large category.
Yeah, so sort of twice the scale of a...
Yeah, just think of a normal person times two.
Given that insight, that's a very good point. Do you think this is a decoy?
Could they have dismantled it?
Or they didn't go down this manhole and it's just here to trick somebody chasing them, so they're wasting all their time sloshing around in some poo.
Where else could they have gone? We know we went.
Was the room a dead end apart from the manhole?
Yeah.
Oh.
The one that you first came down, yeah.
I saw the guys. You know, like, come to think of it, like, right. So I didn't see the simulacrum with them. I assumed we'd gone first, like we all did, didn't it? So maybe they just ran off. Maybe he went out the building while we were all knocked out. I don't know. I'm not really good at.
Perhaps he was the decoy.
Simulacrum.
No, yeah. No, the other chap.
Oh.
The one you were following.
Right, yeah. Mm. There were two of them, though.
Mm.
There's so many possibilities. We'll tie ourselves in knots if we imagine more. Let's just see what we can find out, and we'll reconsider the question later.
Good plan. Have we tried the other path?
Let's
do that quickly.
Okay. So, you head down the other path. Again, there's another turn, a 90-degree left-hand turn this time.
Okay, yep, right. I peek around the edge, I've locked my function.
Peeking around, you see a large door that has a... seems to have some kind of bolting mechanism. It's ajar, and it looks like there has been... The bolts are torn, either they've been blown off or something similar. Mm-hmm. Sheared at the very least.
So much more likely they came this way.
Right, yeah. But then how would they have got here if they didn't come through the manhole? Unless, no, you said it dismantled. That would make
sense. They could dismantle it, you'd store it in a portable hole or something like that if you had a big enough one. I mean, there are ways to do it, it's just...
These people prepared.
Difficult.
No, they knew what they were
they
doing.
They did.
Right. This has been planned for a long time. We might have to... Well, obviously we're going to have to be careful, but I would... Extra caution, they might be waiting for us.
So you say that the
door
they
is... They trapped that manhole. Do you want to see if they trapped this door as well?
Yeah, but I go up to the door.
Bertie, give me a perception check.
16 minus 1, 15.
And Zolf?
Oh. 3.
Bertie, you see something of an unusual shape in the plunge pool. Just for a moment, something solid seems to sort of poke out and then shift and then disappear into the muck again.
What?
Ew.
At this point, I take out my bastard sword and I just poke it into the pool.
What are you doing? There's a clang of metal as you connect. Like a clink, clink. You can shift something.
Is the object moving that I'm...
It's moving when you poke it. It is not moving independent of your poking.
Right. Okay.
Beyond the currents of the water.
What on earth is that?
I think I might have solved the mystery here. And at this point, I am wearing my armour at this point, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
How waterproof is my armour?
Not.
At all?
No.
Even slightly?
It's armour.
Also, it would cause you to sink.
Oh, I'm not planning on diving in. That's, no.
I'm going to get in with it at some point.
I'm at -6 penalty to swim. I am not going to have my character die in a pool of sewage in the sixth episode.
Seventh episode.
At this point, what sort of check would I need to do, if any, to basically thrust my hands into the pool and pull out whatever metal I did?
You wouldn't be able to reach it from where you are.
Oh, right, okay.
You could, I suppose you could lower yourself in, hold on to the side with one hand and reach out with the other to grab it.
Do you want me to get that for you?
If you wouldn't mind, awfully.
All right, then. Make a stepping stone.
Do you have the spell left?
I do. It's I get 7 uses a day, and I've used it once.
Oh, of course. Wait, it's your... Is it a cleric special ability? What's it for?
Yeah, it's from my island's domain.
That's the one, it's your domain.
So it's actually an SLA, not a spell.
Oh, yes, it is a spell. Spell-like ability, sorry.
So to spell out quickly for listeners, there was a lot of jargon there. As a cleric, it's all right. As a cleric, he will pick a domain, so it's sort of like a specialty for the things that he's best at. So you could have the water domain, the fire domain, there's the luck domain. It's just the things that you kind of specialize in getting blessings with, things like that. And a spell-like ability is, it is not a spell. He does not have to sort of stand there and cast it and all of that jazz. It is an implicit ability that he has. It makes a big difference mechanically because some things will only affect spell-like abilities and things like that.
And often with spell-like abilities, you get to use them more times a day.
Yeah. Although it's rare to get a very strong spell-like ability as a character, it's more about utility, I suppose, than power.
At this point, I clamber onto the disc.
Hold up. Ooh. Not in that armour, you're not. If you go in there, you might drown. I'll get it, and I take off my just chain shirt.
Yeah.
And I'm just in my clothes.
Just over your head. Whoop,
yeah,
gone.
Exactly.
There's right. Another moment.
Yeah.
Our eyes lock.
Climb onto the disc.
Sure.
Basically sit down on it.
Yep.
And it just kind of push myself off from the edge.
Yeah. It's quite easy. And this is fine over liquids, isn't it? We've gone over
Yeah. It hovers, I think it's a foot above ground and liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't levitate, as
no,
I found
that's
out.
What we
Yeah, so push yourself off, get on my belly, mm-hmm. plunge my hands in and grab the thing.
You reach your hands in and you find yourself gripping something large, metal, cylindrical. It's quite heavy and you can lift it. You pluck it out of the muck. It's hard to discern from all of the muck what it is. The stench is quite potent once you disturb it like this and stop, you know, pulling it near yourself. And you'll probably need to wipe it off a bit before you can tell specifically what it is.
So if I'm in the middle of this this thing now, I guess... can one of you grab my leg? Pull me back.
My eyes and his locked. Bertie strides manfully forward and pulls legs, edge of the disc.
Yeah, what? legs will be hanging over.
Yeah, distance-wise it's fine.
Does that...
The stepping stone bobs back.
Heft it onto the...
Yeah.
Push it over, mm-hmm. roll off mm-hmm. the disc. Put my chain shirt back on.
Mm-hmm. And you guys come back? Are you still scouting?
No, we've heard all of this. Well, I've heard all of this, so I at least go back.
Sure. You head back, and it looks like they've fished something large and smelly looking out of the big
Bertie
pool
found.
Of sewage.
I cast prestidigitation, producing an army of handkerchiefs from my various pockets.
Yes, you wouldn't mind.
And start to. You know, do my little weird flick cleaning thing.
There's a blizzard of hankies, that's what we'll call it. There's a blizzard of hankies, and then revealed beneath it is a hand, a simulacrum hand, which appears to be torn off at about the wrist, something like that, maybe up towards the elbow, maybe around the forearm point.
Forearm.
Yeah, like about halfway up the forearm.
Right.
To be honest, if you didn't know what you were looking for, it just looked like a gauntlet at first. A very well-made, smooth...
And very large.
But way too large for a person. Dangling from inside it, there are strings of what look like gold, maybe...
Electrum.
In fact, can you give me a... Let's go on an appraise check for once.
Yeah!
Woo-woo!
That is a 17 plus
4.
That's a
19.
And my appraise is 7. So, 24.
Thought as well. So I get a plus 2 on appraise on all treasure found in or underwater. Does this count as water? Or is it? Does it count for sewage? Can I be a sewage beard dwarf?
Two-thirds water.
I will permit you to aid her with a bonus because it was found under inverted commas. Water.
I'll do my roll and add it to your primary action.
I feel like my thunder has been somewhat stolen.
No, because I'm just helping you. So I got 13.
I'm going to be honest, it will make zero mechanical difference because you
rolled 24.
Enough.
So yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up at some point.
Yeah, we should check the collaboration rules.
Yeah. But anyway, you start having a look at it, and it becomes very clear that the interior has probably got more precious metals in it than you would be getting paid for this job. There are strands of gold still hanging out, mithril, and sort of silvery mercury coloured almost.
So does anyone hear like a rattling or anything? Because it's definitely not my hands shaking.
There are some very tiny gears in there and strands of things.
It seems very likely they dismantled it. Do you think all of it's in the pool, or do you think they just dropped one piece?
Probably discarded bit by bit, I imagine. And can I just sense motive on Sasha?
Like I've said before, I'd rather avoid sense motiving and bluffing between
characters
where possible.
What's your face doing right now?
It's like, I'm not hiding it very well. It's just like my eyes are lighting up and I know it's valuable. Like,
I'm just gonna...
There isn't a sneaky... Like, I'm not actually taking things. I am just impressed by this thing.
I'll pop my hand on the thing and say, the Mercenaries Guild will gut us.
Okay.
Fine, I understand there's quite a lot of expensive stuff, but they'll gut us.
Can I do a quick perception check for Alex knows what I'll be looking for?
Tell you what, actually, why don't we take a short ad break and then we'll discuss what you're looking for in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
Hello there. Pre-recorded James Ross here. I love what you've done with your hair. Have you been working out lately? God, you look hench. Well, I'm not featuring in the Rusty Quill podcast. I'm a comedian. If you're anything like me, and I certainly am, then you are sick, sick of terrible comedy nights. They're terrible. By definition, that's not very good. So I've launched a new one, Quantum Leopard. Second Saturday of the month at the Rag Factory off London's Brick Lane. I pick the acts, and I have great taste in acts. No racism, sexism, classism, or homophobia, and no picking on the audience. It's a fluffy night for lovely people only. And if anyone's not lovely, I'll murder them and leave them in a bin. I've got faith in my acts, faith in my audience. Pay what you think the show is worth, and it's bring your own booze, because I'm incredibly cheap. Suitable for children of all ages, provided those ages are all definitely over 18. Look us up on Facebook, because proper websites are surprisingly difficult and expensive. Quantum Leopard, like the smallest possible leopard.
And welcome back. Okay, so you were doing a sort of a search check. Okay.
14 minus 1 is 13.
No traces.
Okay.
So, do you think there are more bits of it in this pool? How are we going to find them?
Alright!
Isn't it? Take off my pack. Take off my thing.
No need for pearl diving. Isn't this, correct me if I'm wrong, ladies and gentlemen, but is mithril not a magical substance? Could not one simply detect magic?
No.
Could we, like...
it's a very special metal with some extremely valuable and useful properties, but it's not technically magical in that sense.
Could we block off the flow of the water for, like, a little while, or divert it somehow?
I'll just jump in.
Okay.
I'll just jump in. But... good point, Raysbury. Let's just check. Detect magic on the gauntlet. Does it have residual magic?
It does. From what you understand of magic, it feels sort of incoherent. And so it feels like there is some innate magical things kicking around in there, but it doesn't feel like... normally with detect magic, if you concentrate, you can be like, ah, I see what this is doing. Here, it's like listening to static. Mm. There's noise, but it's not really music.
But I'm getting a glow from it.
Basically. It's weak. It's very weak.
Oh, look in the pool.
There's another sort of weak glow. It's really hard to pin down.
Yeah, there's something in there. Yep.
I'll also cast the detect magic. Sure. And then I'm going to roll knowledge. I'm going to ask to look at the gauntlet more closely, the one we've already rescued.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to look at it and roll knowledge arcana to see if I can just work out a little more about it. 13.
Okay. 13. So let me just...
While he's examining, I'll take off my clothes and jump in.
Our eyes lock.
Oh, you are going to stink.
Prestidigitation.
Oh, that's actually really... I've never known anyone to make such good use of prestidigitation in like a really effective way.
Beginning to make a mechanical difference.
Also, I used to be a pirate. So I've probably been in worse places.
That's true.
Oh, I think I've cast prejudice the maximum number of times I can today.
Then you're going to have to be next to me.
Okay, so presumably you're concentrating and meeting all the prerequisites to... Yeah, that's fine. So you...
This will be while he's... poo diving.
Poo diving.
That polite enough to say on a family-friendly podcast?
I think it's a polite enough.
hey, everybody poops.
Not in this world. There are magical creatures that don't.
True.
I have people to poop for me.
Anyway.
Excrement excavating.
Does that mean, could you put a portable hole just right next to your bum so you never have to deal with...
Why don't we have an extended discussion of this after the podcast?
The people need to know, Alex.
So, you find kicking around in there elements of the enchantment school, a portion of the illusion school.
This is in the gauntlet.
And the transmutation school, as well as dribs and drabs of the elemental arcane schools.
I'm not going to be able to work out what's going on, but it's going to be really useful in the future to be able to recognise similar stuff.
Yeah, no, I get what you're doing. You basically, it's so that if you can see traces of this later, you'll recognise it. Certainly, the complexity of it, I suppose you'd call it a construct, is very distinct. So, Zolf's just currently swimming in excrement.
Just going right in there.
Right to the bottom?
To where it is. I mean, I can see it.
Sure.
Obviously, I'll close my eyes. So.
Yeah.
No one wants poo eyes.
You do have to dive under, and I'm going to give you a swim check because you feel a very strong current pulling down.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, no.
What was the roll? I can't see it from here.
It's two.
A two?
Four.
Four.
total.
Yeah, you are gripped in a very strong current pulling you vertically downwards. Good news and bad news. The good news is you're drawing near to the thing that you could detect in the pool. The bad news is you're drawing further and further away from the surface, and the deeper you get, the stronger the current becomes.
I will...
I have a suggestion. I would have to make it out of character, obviously, because our characters don't know what's going on. I don't know if this will work mechanically, but can you summon up another disc directly beneath you?
Yes,
and then, like, some sort of poop elevator?
I can. Absolutely can. So, yes, I will go for the...
Presumably, as a spell-like ability, there's no verbal or somatic components or anything to it.
Not listed, no.
That was why I had to ask.
Save against cholera.
Surely one of your domain powers is to be able to cast underwater as a...
If it's not, you really should look into it. Silent spells, stuff like that. Anyway, you can successfully summon it beneath you.
Not yet.
Oh, right.
No, I go for the goal.
Oh, okay, cool. So, yeah, you reach the... the very bottom of the pool, and it's very clear that there's some kind of hole that it's draining through, and that the item that you're reaching for is sort of wedged there.
Grab the item.
Okay, you reach down, try to pull it out. It's wedged quite firmly. You'll need to do a strength check. I'm going to say that you've now been under, coming on to like 20 seconds, something like
cool.
that.
Cool.
Do you think he's okay down there?
Oh, fine.
Okay.
17 on pure strength.
17, yeah, you managed to dislodge it. You hadn't cast the disc yet, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, the flow suddenly massively increases. And give me a reflex save.
That's not something clerics are good at. Still got 14.
Is that total including?
That is total including.
14, you get sucked down straight through the hole that you've just released. As from everyone on the edges, you see suddenly a... and then the pool starts draining very rapidly.
Okay, my reaction to this is try not to panic, just go, it's going to spit me out eventually, and I'm not going to swim against it, so...
Yep.
Go with it.
And yeah, you see all of the sewage get sucked down the hole, and then... suddenly the waterfall is pouring into a large catch basin, and it clearly goes down to about a man-sized hole, and there is no one in there.
Can you swim? I can't swim. I could. Do you want to grab my ankles? I'll go look for him. No, you go. What do we do?
quick, here's some rope. Tie it to me.
You, yes, okay.
That sounds like an excellent suggestion. Well volunteered. So we start knotting the rope around it. Left
quickly,
over right, and right over left. And right. Okay.
Sounds like a thiefy skill. I can tie them.
I jump down the hole. I say, if I tug, pull me back.
Yeah, they will.
And down the hole you go. You're moving quite quickly down. I'm going to cut to Zolf.
Hello.
Zolf, you're now completely disorientated, and there's a couple of twists and turns.
I've still got detect magic active, so if he's holding the magical gauntlet, I'll be able to see him.
Mm-hmm. Give me another strength check to keep hold of it.
19.
You hold tight onto the one thing that's moving with you, i.e. the thing, yep. Whatever it is, and you're getting pulled along the pipe, so you get a bit of a left turn, bit of a right turn, and then, you get spat out of a... what feels like a very, very high thing, plummet and land in something. I'm going to cut back to Hamid.
Yep.
Hamid, you start falling down the tube, and then slowly you decelerate as there's a couple of twists and turns, and you kind of squeak up against until you find yourself just sort of on your side at a sort of 45 degree angle, just in the tube. It carries on, but you're currently... Did you go head first or feet first? Well then, you're currently in a situation where your arms are above your head, your legs are down, you're not squeezed in, but you're going to have to sort of start pushing your way along. You're not moving at a huge pace. Okay. There's only a small amount of the liquid is sort of...
So I'm not immediately drowning?
No, nothing like that. But similarly, you're not shooting out like a cork in a bottle, same way that air is all
fair. I'll start, just kind of... climbing quite gradually and slowly.
Okay. I'm going to cut briefly to Bertie and Sasha.
The rope rapidly disappeared
and then suddenly stopped disappearing and continued very slowly.
Has there been anything like a tug on the rope at all?
What was that? Did that feel like a tug? That felt like a tug to me.
It felt like a tug to me.
What do you think a tug feels like?
It feels like this, like tug her arm. I'm a tanthe, like, young
we'll,
lady.
We'll cut back to Zolf.
No, I want to sink of this. This is great.
Way too much of a tug.
What does a tug feel like to you?
Like this, a tug is.
That is a rubbish tug.
I'm cutting back to Zolf. Okay, Zolf, you break surface and yeah, you're in a much larger sort of like a holding tank or something similar. It's maybe 30 feet across. It looks like there's walking paths on either side that you could swim to, but it's going to be a bit of a tough swim lugging whatever you're carrying.
Better than being in the thing. Do the tough swim.
You need the swim check?
Go to the left.
Sure.
12, sorry.
12? The weight of the thing is stopping you swimming. It's starting to pull you back down.
Stepping stone underneath me.
Okay, that's fine.
I'll start calling out. Not like super loud, but just Zol.
Don't you have your special magic-y brainwalker talking?
He has to have done it ahead of time.
I have to see someone.
There would have been so many good things we could have done. Yeah, but we didn't.
We were in a rush to save your life.
No. I was saying when I jumped in, could have tied a rope around myself, could have done the walkie-talkie thing just in case things went wrong, loads of stuff. Didn't do any of it. I just jumped in, yeah.
So yeah, Zolf, you hear coming out of the tube something similar to
someone's playing the didgeridoo.
Bertie!
So basically lie down on the disc, one arm round the thing, mm-hmm. and then just paddling myself
okay.
in the other. Like the last bit in Titanic.
Yes. Don't let go.
No, that definitely felt like a tug. That was a tug. You don't think that was a tug?
I don't think it felt like a tug.
Your tugs are weird.
Your tugs are weird. No. You have the weirdest tugs. You have the tugs of a tiny lady.
No, your tugs are like a falcon that's half broken wing. Like
when was the last time you were ever tugged by a falcon with half a wing?
And cut to Hamid, you've made it to the end of the pipe.
I'll lean out over the edge.
You're about 30 foot in the air. And there's just a gentle stream of stuff flowing past you into it. You get a much better view. Obviously, I skimmed the description for Zolf, he's a bit occupied. You see a large, almost think of it as an underground lake. It's 30 feet across and disappearing into the distance. Kind of, there's a bit of a haze.
Yeah.
But certainly at least like 100 feet. And there's railings to either side and what look like other side tunnels where the sort of lake, we'll call it, is draining off, and right. Multiple leading off into the distance. So there's a gentle flow of the stuff out towards the edges. You see floating upon it is obviously Zolf with his disc holding a big lump of something, and the flow is actually helping. Looking up briefly, you see a large vaulted ceiling. It's very, very functional, but at the same time, it's good workmanship, and they've not like done a bad job, but it's... It doesn't need to be particularly, you know, fancy.
Zol?
Oh!
Zol!
Hey, yeah.
Are you alright?
I'm fine. Had worse. I got the thing!
Good, I guess. Are you going to be able to get out?
Well, have a look, see if you find any ways up. Maybe a ladder or something.
Honestly, it looks like no one's meant to be coming out of this pipe. It's a pipe that juts out of a wall. Looking to your left and right, you see 10, maybe 20 other such pipes dotted around other parts of the walls. It's just a drainage system. They don't often expect people to be going through the pipes.
How much slacking is there in the rope behind you?
There's maybe 10 foot of slack still. And it's stopped reeling out.
I don't know if I can find a way to get you off. I might have to go and get more rope.
That's fine, I can wait.
Okay, I'll be back soon.
Sure.
I'll start climbing back up, mm-hmm. just to at least get around the corner, mm-hmm. so that they don't, you know, if I tug on the rope, they don't, like, just pull me back and bash me against the side.
Sure, give me a climb check.
19 plus 1, 20.
Okay, it's a really hard climb, and it's slick. The thing that you basically stopped you from just shooting out was that corner.
Yeah.
Because it leveled out enough for a while that you got to lose some speed, but it's very slick. It's designed to keep you moving. You manage to sort of brace your hands and really awkwardly get yourself up. like, there's a couple of moments you almost just slip and end up falling out, but you manage to just make it up onto the slightly level bit before you sort of stop.
Okay.
We are pulling him. He has been down there longer than anyone can hold it, and he's got tiny lungs. They're all, like, well tiny. We've got to pull him out.
He does have the lungs of a tiny little boy. All right, very well. And I start to tug and pull.
Sure. Give me one strength check.
3. Plus ability modifier. 3. 6.
6, honestly, like, you're that light. It's the difference between you just making easy work of it, and it feels like you're probably pulling against resistance from the pipe, maybe around a corner or something, but you are managing to pull out slowly. You're obviously, from Hamid's point of view, there's a sudden like yank around the waist. And yeah, if you're going to climb up, it's very clear that if he wasn't climbing, you wouldn't be able to help him up just mechanically. And similarly, if you, but basically both of you are only just managing to make this.
Between your good plan and my appalling.
Yeah, basically.
You weakling.
That broken wing.
Someone's been on the pies.
Anyway, time passes. Eventually, Zolf makes it to the side of the lake and Hamid makes it to the top of the pipe.
Yeah. I'll get up. I'll let you pull me up the basin as well.
It's slick. It's quite difficult. So yeah, that's...
Okay, so the basin, there's a pipe. The pipe sort of goes around a couple of corners, and then it shoots out into this huge like vault, like cavern, which is like a lake, almost an underground lake. There's also about 30 foot from the bottom of this pipe.
I should point out, by the way, Hamid stinks.
Yeah.
Pungently stinks.
We're standing so far away, don't we?
Hamid, it's fine. We can hear from over here. Just project.
I cast prestidigitation.
Yep, it's fine. This one takes a bit longer. It's a bit ingrained. We'll say that as he's finishing the conversation, there's still a hanky just cleaning out one of the last of his ear hole.
Was there more of the shiny the shiny man in the vault?
We don't know. It's pretty big. It will be difficult to find that out.
I think. We have two options, I suppose. Either we try and haul Zolf out, or we follow him down there.
I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think there's going to be many ways out of this huge vault area. I couldn't see a way out at all. I think if I go back down with a second rope.
Very well volunteered. I think that's
good man. Good, well, good well plan. Done. Very well done.
I think that's a great plan.
That's an excellent plan.
Very good.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Raise hands.
Yep, we're both. Yep.
I mean, most of it's drained out now, so it's not like it's underwater anymore.
Excellent.
Well,
excellent.
Good for you then.
Great.
Okay. Good.
Enjoy that. I'm glad it'll be good.
Routine.
Yeah.
This time I'll give a really clear signal. I'll do a triple tug, quick, like this. I demonstrate.
See, that's what a tug feels like.
That's not like anything
that,
like
that. That is totally what a tug feels like. Isn't. That's totally what I did.
Stop. I grab another piece of rope.
Okay. Presumably tie it off and then tie it to itself.
Yeah, so I'll create a loop and I'm going to tie it to the piece of rope that's tied to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not going to be able to pull Zolf up.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just need to create a link, basically.
Yeah, okay. And presumably head back down?
Head back down.
I'll just leave you. Like, there's this squabbling happening as you're quiet.
I've now demonstrated the tug signal that I need, that I will give if I want to be pulled back up. And it's complicated enough that I won't accidentally replicate it.
Okay, cutting to Zolf. The stepping stone has made it sort of to the edge of the vault.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's pretty much level because it floats a little bit above the liquid.
Sure.
It's pretty much level with the edge and you'd be crawling in underneath a railing. But it's a very easy transfer.
So pop the large object through first.
It clangs.
Yep, and then roll in. Just sit for a moment and be like, well, that was unpleasant. just sort of take a look around from my perspective, see anything that's going to help me while I'm waiting for Hannah to come back.
The walkway, you're right near up against the wall that you came out of. The walkway just stops in a ladder that leads up and then to a higher walkway so that you can cross from one side to the other. Because there's a walk on either side of this vault. In the opposite direction, away from where you came in, it disappears amongst sort of haze and gloom. There's not very good lighting. There's no torches or anything.
I've got dark vision.
Oh, have you got complete dark vision?
double check. But I think
dwarf.
Oh, of course, yeah, dwarf.
Yeah, dark vision. Well, it's within 60 foot.
Within 60 foot, yeah. So within 60 foot, everything that I've said is as is. It does still disappear into gloom at the other end. But what there is there are a couple of light wells dotted above the liquid. So there's the faint outline of a far wall eventually, but it's a very distant. Because dark vision's a bit strange. It doesn't actually mean that you're spectacular at seeing. Like, if it's dark over a longer distance, it's kind of a moot point.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Coming back to Hamid, you make it
to the edge of
down
the pipe
again. And yeah, you're at the edge of the pipe. It was a lot easier knowing what to expect. You could control your descent, again, with the rope and so on.
Zolf?
Yeah?
Are there any other ways out, or are you going to try and climb back up here? I brought a rope.
Well, let's get this thing back. Just throw the rope down, attached to you, obviously.
Okay.
Swing it over like a pendulum, I'll catch it.
It takes a few tries. You manage.
Cool. I am going to tie the rope to the object using a crisscross pattern because I'm aware that it is a sphere. Hopefully using my profession sailor to be good at knot work.
You can tie good knots, yeah.
I'm not even going to get you to do a roll.
Oh, fine.
Years of sailing, of course you can know a knot.
So yeah, tie it kind of like a package so it won't slip out and hoist that up.
I give the tug signal.
And I try and pull it up.
It's not going to be quick work.
I mean, given that this is going to take a while anyway, is it worth just like taking 20?
Sure. Yeah. Just to explain to listeners, what Bryn's referring to there is something we call taking 10 or taking 20. So taking 10 is where you're going to be doing a job and there's no pressure of failure and you can take your time to focus on it.
Yeah, you can't be like rushed. You know?
Yeah. And the idea is that you will basically take the average of your normal rolls. So in things like appraise for Sasha, it's where it will become useful. Because it just saves us doing roll after roll after roll when actually you're not trying to do something particularly difficult. And taking 20 is sort of the extreme version of that. It takes a long time. It assumes you fail
really
a lot.
Fail.
But eventually you get the best possible result that you are capable of doing. So if you were an artist and you had profession artist, you could take 20 to make your work of art and it would take you, 6 months instead of a week.
Yeah, and you produce, several ugly.
Oh, you'd have terrible,
things.
Horrible abominations.
But
and
one
then the Venus
masterpiece.
I rolled a 3. It looks like a frog. Yes.
And it's saving us doing, 400 rolls of 600 permutations of frogs and all that.
Okay.
It will say that you take 10. Because that's sufficient.
Yeah.
You guys get up, get the thing, the device, whatever we call it, the blob. You get that up, pull it up, and you get to the basin and manage to pull it up and dump it on the side.
Wonder. And then I go back down and do the same for Zolf.
Well, volunteered. Good team. Good choices
team.
Been made as a team.
Team.
Good.
Yeah.
Well done.
And we take 20 again.
Yep.
You can take the turn.
Flash forward. I climb over the basin. Please, for the love of everything, clean me up.
I cast.
No, before we clean up Zolf, I think we're going to end it there.
Zolf. Whole week stinky.
Yeah, stinky week for Zolf. We'll call it there. So, thanks for listening, everyone. Hope you had a good time, and we look forward to seeing you again next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Smelly.
Oh, sorry.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
I'm an little teapot, short and stout. Here's my handle.
Meet golems. It's in my head.
All right. Good.
I've never known someone to have meat golems in their head before now.
They're the ones that pump the valves in your brain.
Oh, the meat golems.
Meat golems. Suddenly yeah. that...
Don't you know anything like about numbskulls?
Yes, that new Pixar film, the whole one inside people's brains, is going to be a lot darker than I thought.
Yeah, it's actually a body horror film.
And hello again. Welcome to the Rusty Gaming Quill.
Ten seconds of silence.
How do we spell that?
Silence in the courtyard. Silence in the street. The biggest twit in England is just about to do something he's going to need to edit himself out of later.
You find your long lost aunt inside.
Hello, Bertie. Okay.
Rocky.
Bertie quietly drops the gauntlet back in his syringe.
Shh. It'll be over soon.
Oh, it's a very grim, dark reimagining of the Jeeves and Wooster.
He's just killing off his maiden aunts.
Seriously, gritty reboot of Jeeves and Wooster, where Bertie Wooster just goes around killing his maiden aunts because they're annoying him and he's the sole heir.
If it's played by Robert Downey Jr., I'd watch it.
That's such a good idea. That's such a good idea.
Oh, yeah.